Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
I'd like to welcome all of you that are online all over the world right now. We want you to know, get your Bibles. We're going to have a great time in the Word of the Lord. And we just love you a whole lot. And we're grateful that you're with us and joining us. And there's a brother in the Lord in Iraq. Maybe you're watching right now. Obed, we just want you to know that we love you there in Iraq. Keep telling somebody about Jesus. You're the best. And thanks for letting us know that you're there. Before I give you the title of today's message, which is going to be fascinating for all of you, I want you to hook in and mentally get involved with us today. Don't daydream and wander off with your thoughts, but get down that God wants to speak to you today about something incredibly important as we go to the Word of the Lord. That's before I even read the Word of God to you today and then explain what it means, let me just share some biblical truths to you. As we go to the book of Hebrews, as you know, this section of Hebrews is really putting Jesus up against the angels. You'll find that the Hebrew believers were saying that angels were more important and they thought more of, and they had more of an emphasis about angels than they had about Jesus Christ. And the writer here of Hebrews is saying, no, no, there's a preeminence of Christ. Christ is above everything else, beyond, better, more glorious than any angel will ever be. And that is the context. And by the way, it so fits with us today because we put a lot of things before Christ in our life, don't we? We put a lot of things in our thought process. We put a lot of things in our life. We exalt angels. We call our children angels. We say if someone dies, they were just an angel. We say, make statements like this. Well, I hope they get their wings when they get to heaven. I want you to know something. If you know anything about the Bible, that's a slam. An angel is lower than a saint. And may I say this to you, not even close to Jesus Christ. And so therefore, you don't want to make ignorant statements like that. And you want to make the right kind of a statement by understanding the Scripture as we look at the Word of the Lord. Now, the message title, if you're making notes, is called Welcome to Your New Family. And let me just say this to you before I read one more time. The reason I've entitled it that way, because you need to get a picture of your association with this new family of God. Do you realize that who you are, what you are, and where you're going, what you'll ever become is all based on what you think in your thinking process? In other words, you are where you are, you do what you do, you act like you act, all based upon your thinking process. Your thinking process, by the way, is conditioned by your association about who you are and your family associations, as well as your other associations on this planet. So your thinking process sets where you're at, who you are, where you're going, and what you're doing. Now, you might say, wait a minute, Pastor Jim, that's some psycho-cybernetic, some New Age guru-type message. No, it's totally the Bible. The Bible makes it very clear that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And as you think, that's what you become. And may I say this to you, if your thinking changes to what you should be in Christ Jesus, then you become the fullness that God would have you to be. But if your thinking stays the way you are, based on your family connections, based on your associations, on the present day, that's what you will end up doing. And wouldn't it be sad if all of us went to heaven someday, we got before Jesus, and Jesus said, man, great job. Well done, good and faithful servant. But here's what you could have been doing. Here's what you had access to. Here's what was available to you, but you never took advantage of it because you didn't believe, nor did you see yourself in that position. When Jesus Christ gets us saved, and we get saved with Jesus, we get blood washed, we get sanctified, and then God wants to take us from the darkness that we used to be in to the light of the glorious gospel. He changes everything about us when we get right with God, except our thinking oftentimes is still in the old way of living, old life, instead of in the new life. Is anybody listening? Let me give you an illustration of that. Let me give you one you can relate with. William and Kate just got married. The entire world saw them. For those of you who don't know this, but William is in line to become probably the next king of England. The world stopped at their wedding. The world stopped. The whole place, everybody took days off. Everybody traveled. They probably spent $500 million trying to just televise the wedding of this future king of England, if you will, to the world all out there. They acted like kings. She's going to act like a queen. They dressed like kings, queens. They drove in the cars. The streets were out there. It was completely a royal ceremony that took place. It was quite obvious. If you take William and Kate, and they were born in San Bernardino, there would be no television coverage. There would be no cars. There would be no one doing anything. Why? Because they have a connection with a family. Are they particularly beautiful? Well, some may say they are, and that's fine. But, you know, it isn't about looks. They could have been the ugliest people on the planet. They still would have had, if you will, this kind of coverage. Why? Because of their family association. Their family, royal family association, brought them to a place and status and a function that was far different than the average person that works upon the planet and lives upon the planet. You now have a new family. Most of you don't know it, don't feel like it, don't see yourself in that position, and you never get to that where you have these privileges available to you because of your new family in Christ Jesus, and you find yourself failing, and you find yourself frustrated in life, wondering why God isn't doing something. When in truth, here's the truth, you are part of the royal family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may not understand that, you may not feel it, you may not see it, but that should change your thinking on how you approach life. How you make decisions, how you decide what we're going to do, where you're going to go, how you're going to act. It ought to make every decision process, because you're now no longer in that old family of the natural, but you're now brought into a new family of the spiritual. Stop and think about it with Jesus. Let's talk for a minute. May I get your attention? Listen closely. Jesus comes to the planet. He's been spiritual. He's been God, all eternal since the beginning of time. Here is Jesus. He understands the spiritual side. There's something he didn't understand, and he had to learn how to live and be a human, how to deal with the flesh. Are you following me? We gave you scripture on that a couple of weeks ago in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, where Jesus had to learn obedience through suffering, obedience to the Father through the suffering and the pressures of the flesh. So here's all spirit, all God, all Jesus coming and taking on all man. And now here's Jesus, all spirit, who's from the beginning understands the spiritual side, now taking on something he had never experienced before, the human frailty of man. Mankind. And now he takes on mankind. So he's all spiritual. He understood that. But now he's going to learn the physical side. Did you know that you're exactly the opposite? Did you know that you understand completely the physical? You know how to operate in the physical, and you're learning how to operate in the spiritual. And when you learn how to operate in the spiritual, it's from the spiritual that all the blessings flow to the physical. So God is working on every one of us in every area of our life, including our associations and our family associations. He takes us out of the old physical family and brings us to a new DNA in the spiritual family. We'll see all of that in scripture in just a few moments. May I share it with you? Let's go to Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Verse number 11. I'll just stay in the 11th verse for a few moments. Then we're going to go to 12 and 13. So you want to mark your place in Hebrews today in the 2nd chapter, verses 11, 12, and 13. But let's just concentrate on verse, if you will, verse number 11. In verse number 11, it makes this statement, and it's powerful. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified. Didn't Pastor Dan do a great job on that last week? We're talking about exclusively his. He sets us apart. Now, wait a minute. If I am set apart from everybody else, if I am different than everybody else, and if I'm set apart from everything else onto him, I'm in the world, but not of it. Remember that verse? Therefore, I'm set apart from him and in the world, but not of it. I am now sanctified, he says, and he says, but he makes this brilliant statement, are all of one. Can I translate that for you for a little bit different understanding? Here's the different understanding. All of us are one. And that's what he says, that you and I are one with Jesus. Can you imagine that? We're one with each other. We're one with Jesus. And we need to see ourselves one with Jesus. If you don't think and see yourself as one with Jesus, here's how most people in American churches think and see themselves. They see themselves as down here and Jesus is up there. And I make my prayers down here. Hopefully he hears me and acts on my prayers up there. And then he dispenses some kind of blessing upon me. And there's always a separate identity with Jesus. And here Jesus makes a statement. The ones that are born of the Spirit of God that are being sanctified. In other words, you're sanctified immediately spiritually when you get saved, but now you're learning how to live in the spiritual realm. Being sanctified means I'm learning how to act out what I am. Are you following me? Are you following me? So I'm learning how to act out what I am, being sanctified. Those people, all of those that are born of the Spirit of God, they're one with Jesus. And you and I, our concept, remember I said this earlier, you are a product of what you think. If you see yourself a certain way, that's the way you'll be. If you think if you can only do this, you'll only do that. If you think you've only got this privilege, you'll only take that privilege. You'll only go this far. But here he comes along, makes a statement. The association now is amazing. You're not having Jesus up there and you down here. He is in you. And you are in him, and you've got to start seeing it that way, that you're not separated from him, but you're united together with him. Is anybody listening? And he says, for which reason? He's not ashamed to call them brethren. You ought to circle the word brethren in the Bible. The word brethren is a mighty word. Oftentimes, you know, whether you're a male or female, it doesn't mean anything. What we're talking about is family connection. In other words, he is talking about a family relationship. That's why he called you brethren. Now, why would Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, holds it all together by the power of his might, who is God himself, call you brother or sister? Why would he call you that? How does he do that? Keep in mind that he's all man and he's all God. On the spiritual end of Jesus, he is God. On the man side of Jesus, he is a brother. Why? Because his blood that flowed through him went all the way back to the beginning of the garden with Adam and Eve. And the blood that flowed through you is the blood that flowed through him. And on the human relationship, we're brothers. But on the spiritual relationship, he's Almighty God. And that's why you'll see Jesus in Scripture referring to you from time to time as brethren. But more than just brethren, family members. Can you imagine being in the family with God? When you thought you were brought up in your family, your father had a lot of influence on you. Your mother had a lot of influence on you, even if you had a father, even if you had a mother. My goodness, your siblings had influences in your life. Your relatives, your aunts, your uncles, the family gatherings, the things that you did over the years that you enjoyed, all of those areas, they all spoke into who you are. And that kind of thinking is what keeps us back from being what God would have us be. So Jesus does something. He gets us out of that kind of thinking and brings us into a new family. Now a royal family that has a different perspective on how life should be lived. Not just in the physical, but in the spiritual. I already know the physical pretty good, don't you? And now I'm learning how to be in the spiritual, because the blessings that I need and you need come from the spiritual to the physical, not from the physical to the spiritual. Is anybody following me at all on this? It's so good and so rich for you to see this. So he comes along and he makes that statement that you are part of a new family. Like William and Kate are part of a royal family. There's no way in God's green earth they're coming here to have their service in San Bernardino, because they know who they are, they know what they have, they know where they're going, they know what's expected of them, they act a certain way because of their family connections. The church in America doesn't act a certain way because of family connections. And we need to start understanding and seeing ourselves that way, because as you see yourself and think is what a man becomes, according to Scripture. Is anybody listening? So powerful for us to see. Let me give you a verse on that and explain it. Galatians 4th chapter. Turn with me to Galatians in the 4th chapter. Let's just pop it up on the overhead. Verse number 4 says it like this. But when the fullness of time has come, and I love this, I want you to know something. God is never out of time. He knows exactly the right time. Have you ever prayed and said, God, why don't you do this right now? How come you're waiting? God knows the right time for everything. You've got to trust that God is in control. Is anybody listening? And the fullness of time come, God sent his son, born of a woman, listen to this, born under the law. What for? Verse number 5. Let's check it out. Verse number 5, to redeem. Now, do you notice the word to redeem? I have it highlighted on the overhead. He could have said to save. He could have said to bring you forth. He could have said to, you know, for salvation. He used this interesting word in the original text, and the word is to redeem. Here's what's so fascinating about it. Are you ready? Listen to this. You cannot redeem something that you didn't once have. Did you get it? You cannot redeem something that you didn't once have. The exact wording here says exactly the very heartbeat of God. You say, when did God have us? He had you before the fall of Adam and Eve. Mankind was his at that moment. And it may not have lasted very long with the fall of Adam and Eve, but guess what? Now he brings us back to that place in relationship with the Father God. Redeemed. And he says, those who were under the law, that they might receive the adoption as sons or daughters. You can put that in there. So all of a sudden, now he's bringing you to a place. He's redeeming you to a place so that you can be a son or a daughter of God. All of a sudden, you're now in a royal family with royal privileges, with the heavens of God, the Father, backing you. And let me show you how deep this is and how cool it is, because if you go to verse number 6, it makes a statement that's bizarre. He says, and because you're sons, God has sent forth his Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You see the word Abba up there? The word Abba means daddy. No longer, oh God, almighty majesty on high. Yes, you can call him that. Creator of the heavens and of the earth. Yes, you can call him that. But you could also go to him in this relationship and say, Dad. Daddy, I mean, that's a personal family relationship. My kids call me dad. They don't call me pastor. They say, oh, pastor. Pastor. No, dad. You see, and that's because of a personal family relationship. And so all of a sudden, he sees this deep relationship that we have because we're sons and daughters of God. The problem, here's the problem. We don't see ourselves that way. And we keep thinking where we're at is what we are. Therefore, we never get anywhere or do anything, because our mindset is where we are fixed on our physical old life instead of the new family that God's brought us to. Verse number 7 comes along and says these words. Therefore, remember I taught you the word therefore. Therefore means it's there because of what he said before. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Used to be a slave. Used to be down and out. Some of you still have slave mentality. You haven't gotten out of Egypt. God's brought you the promised land. You don't know how to deal with it, because you don't see yourself there. Don't see yourself. And your thinking has kept you back. Instead of seeing yourself as Kate and William see themselves, royal, you see yourself as just some uneducated, broke loser that comes out of nowhere and doesn't have much hope for the future. And the problem with that is that's not what God brought you to, nor did he pay the price for it, according to these verses. Then he comes along, and if a son, wait a minute, if means it's your call. You see, you can keep living your life down and out, defeated, seeing yourself as nobody and a nothing, or you can start seeing yourself as royalty. Now, I didn't say you should act pompously. I didn't say you should act, you know, arrogantly. I didn't say you're better than anybody else. That's not what I'm talking about. That's pride and contrary to the ways of God. So I'm not saying that. Don't go out of here and say that I said that. I am not saying that. Do you get the picture that I'm not saying that? I'm not saying that. What I am saying, you can throw your shoulders back and know that you're backed by God. And know that you have a new family and you're not a loser. You're not a failure. You're not a kick out. And I don't care how your daddy treated you on the earth. Here's one in the heavens that brought you into his family. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ, you got to be kidding me. In other words, what God has belongs to me and someday it's going to be mine. That is like nuts. If that's true, then Kate and William have nothing on us. Bless them. I don't know where they're at. I'm not trying to pick on them. Please don't misunderstand me. I love them. They're just as cute as they could possibly be. I notice he's losing a little hair. Bosley needs to get there, but that's okay. Great couple. But the point being is this, guys. You and I are royalty. And you never see yourself that way. You see yourself what your school teachers told you, what the sergeant in the army said about you, what your old friends said. How about this for some of you? What your exes said about you. That's the way you see yourself. And as long as you see yourself that way, you will never accomplish the fullness that God has for you in the future. Now, when you're part of the family of God, there's some benefits that come to you. There's some things that Jesus is going to do in you and through you. Remember, he's with you, not just up there. And that's what we're going to talk about as we go to Hebrews, the second chapter. Back there again, this time in verse number 12. What happens to the family members? As we look at the word of the Lord, what happens to family members are very important. Some things happen. Could you put the words, what happens to family members, up? Then we'll go to verse number 12. What happens to family members is very important for every one of us. Now, Jesus talks about his brethren. And now he's going to open some verses up that show you his heart in relationship to the Father with you, which is really fascinating. Things you can't expect. What happens to family members? Are you okay with this? Are you okay with this? Now go to Hebrews, if you will, the second chapter, verse number 12. Let me read it to you. In verse number 12, it makes it very clear. He says, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises to you. In other words, verse number 12 comes along and makes a statement. There is no angel that will declare the name of the Father to the brethren. There is no angel going to come along in your life and make a statement like this, that he says, and I will sing praises in your midst. Because you're a family member, something else is there, a connection. It's really powerful. Let's take one at a time. Number one, see the word declare? Circle it in your Bible. Jesus declares something. Jesus now becomes your teacher. Before this, the world became your teacher. The politicians became your teacher. The economy became your teacher. Situations in life became your teacher. The sergeant in the army became your teacher. School teachers were your teacher. Now Jesus himself, the Son of God, creator of the heavens and the earth, he now becomes your teacher. Someone said to me, who cares? You have to understand it doesn't matter. I see myself as a man in love with God. Doesn't matter what the Bible says, as long as I do good. Can I tell you something? That's the attitude of most people that attend American churches today, and it's absolutely wrong. We don't see Jesus as the teacher. We see him as the healer. We see him as the deliverer. We see him as the one that paid the price. We have got to start to see Jesus as the healer. Why? If he is the teacher of the church, it must mean the church needs to learn something. And you got to get it in your mind, if you're going to be part of this family, there's a way and something for you to learn how to function in the Spirit in your new family. And the teacher is going to teach you how to do that. And you've got to have an attitude that I need to learn something about. I already know the physical, but I need to learn the spiritual side of this. And Jesus is going to teach you. Didn't Jesus say, I've got to go, the Comforter, I'll send the Spirit of God back, he'll be your Comforter, he'll bring you or teach you into all truths. It's the truth, he's the teacher. Watch this, go with me if you will in your Bible. Hold your place there in Hebrews, the second chapter. Go with me to Matthew's in the fourth chapter. In Matthew, the fourth chapter, it's kind of fascinating. Matthew, the fourth chapter, let's take a look at, if you will, verse number 23 of Matthew, the fourth chapter, says these words. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. But here we always zero in on this, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of diseases among the people. His fame went without everywhere. We always zero in on the healing and the miracles, but we've missed the fact that Jesus is the teacher. Jesus is a teacher because there's something you and I need to learn. And that's how to live in the spiritual family that we have that's royal. Matthew, the fifth chapter, verse number 2 says this. And when he had opened his mouth, he taught them. Jesus is a teacher. While you're there in Matthew, the seventh chapter, last verse in Matthew, the seventh chapter, verse number 29. And he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. He's a teacher. When you come into the house of God, you ought to come and gather together and know that Jesus is going to meet up with you, and he may use whatever he wants to use, including a jackass. Scripture tells us to speak to you. So don't let any preacher get pompous about this. Jesus is your teacher. The second thing you're going to find, and what happens to family members, is this. Go back with me, if you will. Hebrews, the second chapter. What happens to family members? Number one, he's the teacher. Number two, if you'll notice out of verse number 12, last part of the verse, it says, in the midst of the assembly. The word assembly means church there. And some of your translations even say that. Church. In the midst of the church, he says these words. Speaking of you and I, he says these words. I will sing praises to you, Father. Did you know that Jesus is your worship leader? Did you know, number two, here it is. Listen to this. We worship together with Jesus. We don't just worship Jesus. Did you know when you're worshiping God, Jesus is right there with you worshiping the Father himself? Now, for some of you that stand and stare and move and don't do anything, this should stimulate you to realize that Jesus wants to worship through you to the Father. But let's understand worship. Worship is not just a song, and it's not just a beat. It's not just a sound. It's not just an instrument. It's not just a key. It's not just a note. Jesus tells us that worship is what you do with your life. And all day long, the worship leader is living inside of you. And he is there not only to teach us, but to worship through us to the Father. I don't know about you, but when times are tough and I start worshiping God, I get off the tough times, get on God, I feel a whole lot better. Has anybody ever felt that way themselves? Where you just say, I don't give a flip, man. I'm going to praise you, God, and start worshiping God. I don't understand what's going on. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I know you're in control. All of a sudden, man, something happens. I like what it says in Psalms 81:1. Just pop it up on the overhead. Last part of the psalm is really kind of cool. It says, sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to God of Jacob. So God is saying, here's what we're doing. Sing aloud, make a joy. Remember today, did we not just shout? And some of you went, oh, that's weird. What a noisy church. A giant bag of hot air. No, no, it's scripture. Did you know that Jesus dances and the Bible says he twirls in our midst? That's pretty Pentecostal. You twirl in our midst, we're going to slap you down. That's what Jesus does. Sings through you to the Father. Next time you don't feel like doing it, you say, well, Pastor, I don't think I like this music. Jesus doesn't care. He can get down. Doesn't matter a bit. Is anybody listening? I like what it says in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse number 19. Just pop it up on the overhead. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. But my favorite is James, the 5th chapter. Just pop up James, the 5th chapter, verse number 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs or psalms. Now let me give you a different translation. Oftentimes I'll give you the Greek, and I'll share with you the Hebrew. I'll share with you the literal translation. This is called the Insight Translation. You say, where did the Insight Translation come from? From me? Here's how it works. Is anyone among you suffering? Well, let him pray. Let him sing songs, and he'll be cheerful. Because that's what happens. It follows the song. Is the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. You know it's good. Here's what happens to family. Here's what happens to family members. Number 3, go back if you will into Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, this time in verse number 13. It says, and I will put my trust in him. He teaches us. He sings with us, and we trust. Learning how to trust in God. I don't know about you, but the Bible says, and you got to understand this, if you want to ever please God, you better hear the words I'm going to speak. The Bible makes it very clear that no other way to please God except by faith or trust. That means I believe in Him above my circumstances. I know what I see. I know what I feel. I know what's happened to others, but I believe in God's going to come through for me and make a way. And that's called trust. And my trust in the Father comes through the Son, who gives me the faith to do these things and believe God for great things. Now, last week, if you're not here on Wednesday nights, we're talking about finances. We're talking about money, what the Bible says, a biblical finance, what the Bible says about your money. We were in a place last week, Deborah and I team taught. We had a ball doing that, by the way. And we both taught. She taught, I taught. We taught together. We just had a great time Wednesday night. But something popped out of my mouth that when it came out of my mouth, I never thought about it a second before it came out of the mouth. The first time I heard it was when it came out of my mouth. By the way, that's about 85% of everything that comes out of this pulpit area. First time I hear it is as it comes out to you. And I've learned to understand what is God, what isn't God. And God made a statement last week out of the book of Genesis 26, verses 12 and 13. If you'll remember, we were talking about, listen to this, Isaac sowing in a day of famine. A famine means there's no water in the land. Everybody's starving. There's poverty in the area. People are dying. You can't put a seed in the ground. It'll dry up. There's no moisture. There's no rain. There's a famine in the land. Starving people, starving animals. And here comes God. And here's this guy, Isaac. He sows in the midst of a famine. And God gives him 100-fold return. And the Bible says at the end of verse number 12, God blessed him. We're talking about trust. Now watch this. Oftentimes, we have trust in what we think God should do in order for us to get to where we need to be, instead of having trust in who God is. The Bible does not say it rained. That's your thinking. The Bible didn't say the drought was broken. That's your thinking. In fact, if you keep on reading in Genesis 26, you'll see they were digging wells trying to find water. The drought hadn't been broken. Where did the hundredfold come from? It came from God. God doesn't need the rain of the sky to make a seed grow. God doesn't need somebody to come through and pay your bills or some job to be given to you to make ends meet. God doesn't need somebody to give you a promotion. God is the one who gives a blessing. And when you have trust and you have faith, you have trust and faith in Him, not in what He can do, but what He is. Boy, my friends, I'm telling you, that's why Jesus is the one who teaches us trust. Family members get His teaching, get our worship that brings us into a place of joy. And also family members, as family members, you get to trust God in the midst of problems and trials and know that He's a God that's coming through. No matter if you know the results on how it's going to happen, doesn't matter. He's still God because He can change the elements and circumstances to make Him work on your behalf. Now I leave you with this question. If you are King's kids, if you are born of the Spirit of God, if you are brought back and redeemed from the life of old, why do we keep running back to our old mentality that keeps us in bondage? Seeing ourselves the way we see ourselves instead of seeing ourselves the way we really are. And I'll ask you, one more question. What would the church be like if they started to see themselves as God's family members? What would we be like if we started to see ourselves with the privileges of the royalty that goes with the blood that washed you clean from the cross at Calvary? That's what we're learning every time we come to church, how to get out of the physical, which we know how to do very well, and get into the spiritual, which we're learning how to do. If God spoke to you today, give the Lord a great big praise. We do that? Come on, you know He did. Give Him a great big shout. Because He's in the midst of our shouts. Glory to God.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.